Good afternoon, everyone. A special greeting for all students and faculty and staff and community guests, and welcome to what we hope and expect to be a unique service of Advent and Christmas. I'm University Campus Pastor Brian Martin Burkholder, and it's a privilege for Campus Ministries to host this Christmas chapel, along with faculty and students from the music and theater departments. This service was designed by Professor of Music Ken J. Nafziger, and it features music sung and led by the chamber singers, the men's choir, and the women's choir, alongside a collection of scripture and other readings given life as coached by Professor of Theater Justin Poole. Please allow me to give a few instructions for the service. Follow the program as your guide, and if you don't have a program, maybe go back to the entry and get one. There will be no announcements made from the podium, and so that is your guide for the service. We'll be singing from two songbooks that are in the benches, the blue hymnal, a worship book, and the purple, Sing the Story. Perhaps keep those out on the bench next to you or on your lap. We use them frequently. One song in the program found between the first and second reading will not be sung today. It's entitled Hacia Belén Se Encaminan, from Sing the Story, number 20. Just take note of that. We'll go right into the reading following the song from the chamber singers. Finally, in preparation, we ask that cell phones and other devices be silenced, or better yet, turned off, and that there be no applause within the service itself. This service is intended and shaped as an introspective journey into and beyond the Christmas narrative. So join us in reflecting on what it might mean to wake us to see a new world.
The Grinch hated Christmas the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one knows quite the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. Whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve hating the Who's, sitting down in his cave with a sour, grinchy frown at the warm, lighted windows below in their town. All the Who boys, girls, and boys would wake bright and early. They'd rush for their toys. And then, oh, the noise. The noise, 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 noise. That's one thing he hated. The noise, 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 noise. And then the Who's, young and old, would sit down to a feast. And they'd feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast, 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 feast. They would feast on Who pudding and rare Who roast beast, which is something the Grinch couldn't stand in the least. And then they'd do something he liked least of all. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, would stand close together. With Christmas bells ringing, they'd stand hand in hand, and the Who's would start singing. And they'd sing, and they'd sing, and they'd sing, 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 sing. And the more the Grinch thought of this Who Christmas sing, the more the Grinch thought, I must stop this whole thing. Why, for 53 years I've put up with it now. I must stop this Christmas from coming. But how?
Rejoice, rejoice, the Savior comes, the Savior promised long. Let every heart prepare a throne, and every voice a song. Let every heart prepare a throne, and every voice.
In the beginning, the breath of God hovered over the water. In the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was in God's presence, and the Word was God. Things came into being. And apart from the Word, nothing came into being at all. In the Word was life, and that life was light for all the world, a light that shines in the darkness, a light that the darkness has never overtaken. From the root of Jesse, a branch will blossom. The Spirit of God will rest on him. A spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and reverence for God. He shall not judge by appearances or make decisions by hearsay. The poor shall be treated fairly, and the rights of the downtrodden will be upheld. There will be no harm, no destruction anywhere on this holy mountain. For as waters fill the oceans, so the land will be filled with the knowledge of God.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel.
Please join me in the affirmation of faith. We are called to proclaim the truth. It is not true that this world and its people are doomed to die and to be lost.
This is true.
It is not true that we must accept inhumanity and discrimination, hunger and poverty, death and destruction.
This is true. The deaf hear good news. The dead are raised to life.
It is not true that violence and hatred should have the last word, or that war and destruction are here forever.
This is true.
It is not true that we are simply victims of the powers of evil who seek to rule the world.
This is true. The Lord whom we seek will come suddenly to all people.
It is not true that our dreams of liberation, of human dignity, are not meant for this earth and for this history.
This is true.
With God. You'll conceive and bear a son, and you give him the name Jesus, deliverance. His dignity will be great, and he will be called the only begotten Son of God. His reign will have no end.
Mary said to the angel,
"How can this be, since I have never been with a man?"
My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you, my Savior, for you have looked with favor upon your lowly servant, and from this day forward all generations will call me blessed. For you, the Almighty, have done great things for me, and all and holy is your name. Your mercy reaches from age to age, and for those who fear you, you have shown strength with your arm. You have scattered the proud in their conceit. You have disposed the mighty from their thrones and raised the lowly to high places. You have filled the hungry with good things, while you have sent the rich away empty. You have come to the aid of Israel, your servant, mindful of your mercy and the promise you made to our ancestors, to Sarah and Abram and their descendants forever.
While they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her delivery. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She put him in a simple cloth wrapped like a receiving blanket and laid him in a feeding trough for cattle because there was no room for them in the inn.
Bethlehem.
is no time for a child to be born, with the earth betrayed by war and hate, and a comet slashing the sky to warn that time runs out and the sun burns late. That was no time for a child to be born. In a land of the crushing grip of Rome, honor and truth were trampled by scorn, yet here did the Savior make his home. When is the time for love to be born? The inn is full on the planet Earth, and by a comet the sky is torn. Yet love still takes the risk of birth.
There were shepherds in the area, living in the fields, and keeping night watch over their flocks. The angel of God appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them. They were very much afraid. The angel said to them,
"You have nothing to fear. I come to proclaim good news to you, news of a great joy to be shared by the whole people. Today in David's city, a Savior, the Messiah, has been born to you. Let this be a sign to you. You'll find the infant wrapped in a simple cloth, lying in a manger."
Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in high heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom God's favor rests."
Angels, we have heard on high,
said to one another,
"Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this event that God has made known to us."
And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Once they saw this, they reported what they had been told concerning the child. All who heard about it were astonished at the report given by the shepherds.
Of winter time, when all the birds have flown.
Next day, the stable was empty. An angel had told Mary and Joseph to flee, and so the family had gone away to far off to a country. Now people who came to find the child and worship him would have to find him elsewhere, in some other ways. The shepherds were lucky. They never had to believe in something they had read about. They just came and saw it, came and saw God lying in the straw.
Oh,
Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart.
O you, who bear the pain of the whole earth, I bore you. O you, whose tears give human tears their worth, I laughed with you. You, who when your hem is touched give power, I nourished you. Who turned the day to night in this dark hour, light comes from you. O you, who hold the world in your embrace, I carried you. O you who laughed and ate and walked the shore, I played with you. And I, who with all others died for, now I hold you. May I be faithful to this final test. In this last time, I hold my child, my son, his body close and folded to my breast. The holder held, the bearer bare. Morning to joy, darkness to mourn. Open my arms, your work is done.
Thunder rumbles and the mountain passes, and lightning rattles the eaves of our houses. Floodwaters await us in our avenues. Snow falls upon snow, falls upon snow to avalanche over unprotected villages. The sky slips low, gray, threatening. We question ourselves. What have we done to so affront nature? We worry, God. Are you there? Are you there really? Does the covenant you made with us still hold? Into this climate of fear and apprehension, Christmas enters. Streaming lights of joy, ringing bells of hope, and singing carols of forgiveness high up in bright air. The world is encouraged to come away from rancor, come the way of friendship. It is the glad season. Thunder ebbs to silence and lightning sleeps quietly in the corner. Floodwaters recede to memory. Snow becomes a yielding cushion to aid us as we make our way to higher ground. Hope is born again in the faces of children. It rides on the shoulders of our aged as they walk into their sunsets. Hope spreads around us, brightening all things, even hate, which crouches breeding in dark corridors. In our joy, we think we hear whisper. At first, it is soft, then only half heard. We listen as it gathers strength. We hear a sweetness. The word is peace. It is loud now. It is louder, louder than the explosion of bombs. We tremble at the sound. We are thrilled by its presence. It is what we've hungered for. Not just the absence of war, but true peace, a harmony of spirits, a comfort of courtesies, security for our beloveds and their beloveds. We clap hands and welcome the peace of Christmas. We beckon this good season to stay a while with us. We Baptists and Buddhists, Methodists and Muslims say, come, peace. Come, fill us and our world with your majesty. We, the Jew and the Janus, the Catholic and the Confucian, implore you to stay a while with us. So we may learn by your shimmering light how to look beyond complexion and see community. It is Christmas time, a halting of hate time. On this platform of peace, we create a language to translate ourselves and to each other. At this instant, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ into the great religions of the world. We jubilate the precious advent of trust. We shout with glorious tongues the coming of hope. All the earth's tribes loosen their voices to celebrate the promise of peace. We, angels and mortals, believers and non-believers, look heavenward and speak the word aloud, peace. We look to our world and speak the word aloud, peace. We look to ourselves and into each other, and we say without shyness or apology or hesitation, peace, my brother, peace, my sister, peace, my soul.
Thank you.
when the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed him. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written.
The Spirit of God is upon me, because the Most High has anointed me to bring good news to those who are poor. God has sent me to proclaim liberty to those held captive, recover the sight of those who are blind and release those in prison, to proclaim the year of our God's favor.
Rolling up the scroll, Jesus gave it back to the attendant and sat down.
Today, in your hearing, this scripture passage is fulfilled.
Amen.
Please join in this affirmation of faith. No one can celebrate a genuine Christmas without being truly poor. The self-sufficient, the proud, those who, because they have everything, look down on others, those who have no need even of God, for them there will be no Christmas. Only the poor, the hungry, those who need someone to come on their behalf will have that someone. That someone is God, Emmanuel, God with us. Without poverty of spirit, there can be no abundance of God. Let us pray. In your mercy, clothe us.
In your protection, enwrap us.
In your care, enfold us.
In your grace, array us.
With your justice, dress us.
For your labor, fit us.
In your love, envelop us.
Fit us for your work.
Amen. Amen.
The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. He puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day.